Good morning and welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here. It's a Thursday morning, nice Thursday too, and lots going on in the province. We were just talking about the Patricia's Howl out at the Regina Beach Campground and, of course, exhibition, both in Saskatoon and Regina. That big fireworks competition that they hold in Mooseman every year is happening over the long weekend. You can't say there's nothing to do on the long weekend in Saskatchewan. There is so much going on. Well, speaking of something to do, I'm a big fan of Globe Theatre in Regina. Been to, over the years, countless performances there. Actually, if I'm being really honest, I acted in one once. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in this chat that we're going to have this morning. So Globe Theatre was back in the news because it received a financial lifeline after the city last night, through council, approved a one-time grant aimed at keeping the theatre operating. The funding comes after Globe was warned that it was facing serious financial challenges that threatened its upcoming season. So what does this decision mean for one of Saskatchewan's most iconic arts organization? What comes next? That's where my next guest comes in. Oz Weaver is the executive director of Globe Theatre. He joins us to discuss the funding, the future of the theatre, and how Globe plans to move forward. Oz, thank you so much for being here.
Evan, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So can we talk a little bit about what the ask was of council? I know you were at council yesterday. Talk a bit about what precipitated that.
Yeah, so over the last 5 to 6 years, we've had a major renovation project, which I think everyone in Regina is aware of. And due to cost escalations that happens in restoring a heritage building, mm-hmm. plus also COVID escalations, tariffs coming from somewhere down south, we had cost escalations on the project. In the end, the whole project cost $50 million, which is actually pretty a tight budget for a 68,000 square foot building. And so we have a $16 million left of fundraising to complete the capital project. In the interim, to keep the project moving, the Globe took on a mortgage of $11.1 million so that we didn't have to pause the building's construction and not be able to do shows. Mm-hmm. We pushed on with the hope that we could get additional funding from sponsors, from government. And so that's something we've been working on for a couple of years now.
So what my understanding is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Oz, but the business plan, the business model for Globe Theatre is quite successful if you take the renovations out of it. I mean, the amount of shows that you put on, patrons that you have, sponsorship, all the rest of it, you easily have a business case to keep afloat from an operational standpoint.
Yeah, and this is something we spoke about with council last night. We've been in business for 60 years as a not-for-profit charity. Over the last 3 years, we've grown almost exponentially. Two seasons ago, the first season back in the building, we had 35,000 people through the main stage season, only 5 shows. This past season we just closed, we had 50,000 people through the building. That's also 50,000 people coming through downtown. So the other piece of it is we advanced over close to $3 million of operating cash reserves to continue the project. A company that's in decline doesn't have $3 million of cash reserves to be able to, push forward a capital project. But that, unfortunately, once we used all of that cash, still, waiting for that additional funding, we hit that liquidity crisis. And so, yeah, the operations are really sound and doing very well. It's just this capital over top of us that is really pulling the organization down.
Oz Weaver is my guest, executive director of Globe Theatre, and they are here to talk about the need for this investment from the city, or this, emergency funding. Can we call it that? So I think where people are asking questions, and I've had a number of people text in this morning saying the city, I think, ponied up $8.5 million, was my understanding, for the original renovation. Was it, for lack of a better term, and I realize you weren't there as executive director when this vision started, but was it a bad business case off the start? Was it a number of things that couldn't have been planned for and seen that have caused this? You've mentioned COVID, you've mentioned tariffs. Yeah. How is it that we've gotten here?
When we first, the project's been in the works for over a decade. It started with Ruth Smiley, and has moved through my predecessors and current artistic director Jennifer Bruin. So it's been through a lot of hands. But P3A Architecture is the main architect and also consultant, and have done an incredible job. But we started the funding in 2019. Mm. We started with a shovel in the ground in the early 2020. So everything before that, you would have not expected COVID to happen. And anyone who works in construction knows that during COVID, costs escalated at a rate that was pretty impossible to keep up with. And then we were still under construction with the tariff. So all of these pieces added to it. But the other part is it was a 120-year-old building that was time expired. It had to be renovated or it had to be taken down. Mm. It was going to fall apart. So when you're renovating a heritage building, you never know what you're going to find. And there's two pieces that we always talk about, but there's multiple other ones. The grand staircase in the old building, which a lot of people probably remember, it was quite beautiful.
I remember it, yeah.
Once they started deconstructing around it and they were trying to save it for heritage value, they recognized that it actually wasn't attached to anything and they don't know how it didn't collapse over the years. The roof, when they started doing core samples and everything, at some point in the roof was just sand. It had deteriorated so much. So there's a $3 million roof that didn't exist in the beginning because they were trying to save the roof. Mm. So the original project was trying to save as much as the historic value, mm-hmm. but also try to reduce costs as much as possible to keep this as, you know, in line as possible. Right. But when you get to a roof on a building our size that will fall in and you have to replace it, that's $3 million. So costs escalate really quickly in construction. And I believe all of the teams, you know, were working at their best to try to figure out this piece. But Mitch Molnar was at council with us yesterday, who is the president of Mitchell Developments downtown. So mm-hmm. he knows construction well. And heritage projects are hard. But I think a lot of people in Regina believe it's important to keep our heritage buildings downtown. It's part of the beauty of downtown. And, the Globe's a pretty mm-hmm. gorgeous building right there on the corner.
How deep is the shortfall that you're looking for? I know council yesterday was 1.3 million.
1.38.
Yeah, okay. So really, I think that's actually a small amount. I don't want to minimize 1.38 million, but a small amount compared to what you're looking for, because you're hoping the feds will come through with 12 million.
Yeah, so we have an active application in with the federal government for the infrastructure funding that was announced last fall. So that's for 12 million. And it's going well. We have really great and warm conversations with the federal government, and we keep on working that through. It just takes its time. Infrastructure funding at that level, it's part of a $60 billion pool. That money doesn't move fast.
Sure.
Heather Irvin, our director of engagement, has already fundraised an additional $2.6 mm-hmm. million on top of the $8 million that we've already done in private funding. So we're working at it from all angles,
right?
But with the city, the fundraising we've already done, and the final government input, it will clear our mortgage. We'll be able to finish the last few pieces, and we'll enable the Globe to have no debt or overhead.
Back to business as usual,
exactly.
Basically, what if the federal funding doesn't come through?
Yeah, it's a good question. We're already working on that. We're already working with donors and sponsors and corporations to go, what's possible here? And we're trying to be, you know, radically transparent. We've been talking to all three levels of government for almost 2 years about the mounting problems, but also our donors. Mm. We try to keep everyone up to date so that no one's shocked. And so we keep good conversations going there. So we'll just have to fundraise again. Our hope is that we'll be able to close that full 12.
What about the province? Have you approached the province about funding?
We have worked with the province over the last 2 years, and unfortunately this spring that they said that they weren't interested in funding the project a second time.
Mm. So were they part of the initial funding for the renos?
Yes, they gave a little over $9 million on the first tranche of funding.
Okay.
But have said that they won't come in for the second. And to point out, the city has done three. So the city is showing great leadership right now in, you know, we have a $23 million impact on the GDP. We're not a small organization, and we do a heavy lift for Southern Saskatchewan, which we are happy to do. And council saw that last night, that, you know, a $1.4 million investment gets them $23 million in GDP impact. Mm-hmm. Pretty good trade-off.
When we're talking about, we're chatting today with Oz Weaver, Executive Director of Globe Theatre. When we're talking about city assets like this. And I realize you are not owned by the city, but you are part of a vibrant city of Regina. We were talking this morning about the Deed in Saskatoon, which is this proposed downtown event and entertainment district. You've always got people on the side of the argument like this is, at a time when cost of living is at an all-time high, this isn't how we should be spending public dollars. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone who, you know, were to meet you on the street and say, I don't support whether it's the city or the federal government putting money into this right now, knowing we've got all kinds of social issues that need to be funded?
Yeah, I think it's all part of the same conversation. Mitch Molnar said this great last night. 11% of the taxes that Regina takes in is from downtown. It's a very small area for 11%. And the Globe is a large impact on that. We have restaurants and other businesses saying that they are surviving because the Globe brings so many people downtown. The downtown is alive because of us. So if we go away, downtown, there's a lot less to do. Other businesses will close. So that tax that is already happening downtown will disappear, mm-hmm. and the burden will then move outwards. So there's that piece. We also, you know, we do a lot of community programming. You can come to a pay what you will night, which is $1 or $5, or you could pay $100. It whatever you want to pay for the show, $20 on Tuesdays. So there's lots of ways to come to the theater that aren't too expensive. But as I said, a $23 million impact on the GDP is what we put back in community. Mm. So, you know, when the city and the end of this is going to have invested $9.9 million, that's for every year, $23 million back into the GDP, and we're still growing. So that GDP impact will grow. Mm-hmm. And we believe in the tide rises all ships, so we're really happy, you know, with the Riders and the Grey Cup and the Red Sox and the library and the McKenzie, all of us working together. Mm. But when we look at a Grey Cup, we have the same economic impact as a Grey Cup every 2 to 3 years. And that's what they're investing in right now. We are part of the anchor of downtown financially and culturally and community.
So you did a good job, Oz, of outlining some of those unforeseen costs. Some of it was escalating costs, and then some of it was as the reno started. And I think we've all gone through this in our personal life. Sometimes you reveal a few things. But I also am aware that you've changed contractors through this, and there's a pending lawsuit on the side of this. Now, I'm not so naive to know that you can't talk about the lawsuit, but I wonder about is there exposure there? Like, what if the lawsuit doesn't go well? I know you don't like to what if it, but what does that mean for Globe?
Yeah, I can't speak too much to it, but we feel that we took myself and the full board did our fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the project was in the right hands. And we're working with our lawyers at MLT Aikens, who are also one of our sponsors on Little Red Warrior. And we feel like we're following the right pursuit that we have to do as our fiduciary responsibility to a not-for-profit charity to make sure that we're protecting public and private dollars.
I mentioned this right off the start, kind of with a quiet whisper, but I won't say I was good, but I acted in a Globe production back in 1990, I think it was. It was called The Mouse That Roared, and it was one of these ones where they had brought in professional actors, of course, for the play, but they also had a bunch of community members. Mm. And so back then, I was a disc jockey and a weather guy at the Global TV, and I somehow got roped in to do it. It was a great experience.
We're going to have to try to find the archival video of this. I'm sure something exists. Yeah. And
I think I had one line. I think I had one line in The Mouse That Roared. But would you ever consider doing it? I'm not looking to go back onto the stage, but I'm just wondering, is that like, what does the future look like for the Globe?
Yeah, so next season is already selling quite well. It's an incredible season. We're opening the season with Zarka Nawaz. Brand new show. Zarka is the creator of Little Mosque on the Prairie.
Say, local talent. Yeah.
She's written a show for us and she's starring in it. It's pretty incredible. And the season with Evil Dead, the musical, which has a blood splash zone, mm-hmm. fake blood. But something that Jennifer Bruin, the artistic director of the Globe, is looking at doing is a community show like that, where it's members of the public or celebrities, local celebrities with professional actors. And that's a fundraising show. And it's a really great thing. And theaters across the country do it. So we're definitely looking at bringing that back. And we're going to have you in it.
Well, again, no promises, but I do. It's funny. I still have the poster because, of course, they had the playbills or whatever. We all got a copy of one. And I think we had the whole cast sign it somewhere. It's in my basement somewhere right Amazing. Now. Oz, this has been a good conversation. Thanks for popping in today.
Thanks, Evan.
Oz Weaver, the executive director of Globe Theater. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Thanks again to Oz Weaver for popping in, the executive director of Globe Theater. Some information there that helped me understand. I was one of those ones, big supporter of Globe Theater, big supporter, but scratching my head a little bit saying, how is it that, you know, we were so off on the estimate of what this is going to cost? Really good explanation from Oz there on some of the unforeseen costs that from the date at which this was decided to go ahead, we had the pandemic, which clearly we all know supply chains were hindered. Tariffs have played into this a bit, but some of the unforeseen things and fairly big pieces that you didn't realize that were uncovered when you've got a heritage building that houses Globe Theater that are uncovered when you're going through it. So a little bit better understanding of why last night Regina Council approved an additional $1.3 million to help kind of keep Globe going, and that with what they're hoping to get from the federal government should get them back on track. They run a very successful operation. The ticket sales, the sponsors that they get absolutely pay the day-to-day bills. So this is not about subsidy. This is literally about taking care of that extra renovation cost as well. Have you been affected by this WestJet strike? They officially gave strike notice yesterday. Yesterday was the deadline that if they were going to strike on as of midnight on Sunday, kind of Saturday night, Sunday morning, they had to give notice yesterday. Well, it happened. It doesn't mean there's going to be a strike. It does mean that they've got between now and basically 12:01 on Sunday to come up with a deal. And if they don't, flight attendants are on strike, which, of course, will grind WestJet to a halt. Number of people have either canceled or rebooked. I mean, it's a long weekend in August, so a lot of people had plans to fly and travel this weekend, and I know a number of people that have adjusted or canceled their plans altogether in advance of what potentially could be a strike. So we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, our newsroom will stay on top of that. Okay, back to where we started the conversation today. We were talking about the deed in Saskatoon. We have Saskatoon's Mayor Cynthia Block joining us just after the 10:30 news. We do this on a monthly basis. We just had Regina's Mayor in yesterday. Today is the day we check in with Saskatoon's Mayor. We will talk about the deed, where it's headed, what funding looks like. Is there the possibility of a referendum? Many people are asking that. And what about these decorative rocks that were bought? Some people up in arms about the cost there, that and more with Mayor Block when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.